Welcome to ECB's weekly sermon podcast. ECB is an international church in Bangkok, Thailand, with dozens of nationalities worshiping together. We invite you to connect with us from wherever you are through our website, ecb.asia, or our mobile app. And now we pray that you are blessed by this week's sermon.
Good morning, ECB. It is great to be here on this commissioning day for commissioning Pastor Pablo and to his new role as lead pastor at ECB. Pastor Pablo and I actually share the same birth country of Chile, and we grew up in the same city there in Santiago. But more importantly, we share the same eternal home. So it is an honor to share God's word with you this morning. Today, I hope to leave you with an invitation. Transitions are usually pretty challenging, and so I also want to thank Pastor Renee for listening to the Spirit and following God's leading, and for your desire to pass the baton well in this transition here at ECB. So thank you. I'd like to start out the journey, the sermon this morning, looking at the transitions in John 14, 25 through 29. But before we do that, let's pray. Lord, we come before you with grateful hearts. Thank you for the opportunity to commission Pablo today. We pray that you would guide in all the details of this leadership transition here at ECB. We pray that as we look at your word, that you would speak to our hearts today, that you may draw near to our hearts, and that you would draw our hearts to you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. John 14, verses 25 through 29. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. We have the scene here in the upper room. Just as the disciples and Jesus have finished the Last Supper and they're about to leave, when Jesus announces that there will be a transition. There will be a new way that the disciples will experience the Trinity. They have had Jesus face to face for a while, but now the Father is going to send them the Holy Spirit, who is going to teach them and remind them of what Jesus has told them. If you were to read a little bit further in chapter 16, you would see that the disciples are not fully understanding what is going on, and their hearts are probably feeling some fear and anxiety in this transition. ECB is an international church, and so most likely all of you have experienced transition and can relate to fear and anxiety. Maybe even in the midst of this transition between Pastor Renee and Pastor Pablo, you may experience some anxiety, maybe even some fear. So I want you to get a glimpse of Jesus' character in this transition in John 14. He's about to go to the cross, which we'll be celebrating soon. He's about to go to the cross. And what is on his mind in verse 27? That his disciples will experience peace and that their hearts would not be troubled, that they would not be afraid. In fact, in verse 28, he even longs for them to have joy. For as he is going to his Father's house, the eternal perspective, he wants them to have joy. And in verse 29, he invites them to have faith. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Have faith. The scene just before Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he is about to be arrested, what does Jesus say to the disciples? I am inviting you to trust me with an unshakable faith. I want you to have the kind of peace that I give, not the kind that the world offers, that's a substitute that won't last, the kind of joy that I give, not the type that the world offers, that is a temporary high, the kind of faith that I give, not that the world offers that will bring disappointment. This is good news. In the midst of transition, Jesus is offering peace, joy, and faith all through his sacrificial love. Now, the invitation to faith has always been a tough one for me. I like to control outcomes much more than I like to trust. Maybe you're with me on that. In fact, most of my prayers are about praying not to have to trust. Lord, if you would just solve this problem, then I wouldn't have to trust you. Lord, if you would just provide financially, then I wouldn't have to trust you. Lord, could you just make it so I don't have to trust you? So my prayers are always trying to not have to trust God. But the invitation from the Father is always to trust, to believe, to have faith. For that is what the relationship with him is built upon. Years ago, in my early 30s, coming out of corporate America, where I worked for United Airlines, I transitioned into ministry. I brought many corporate ideas with me into ministry and even wrote a thesis suggesting metrics for determining ministry success. Talk about not wanting to trust. Mission organizations were interested in being able to track and determine success in ministry, and I was busy creating systems, some of which simplified and some of which complicated the very thing that God was doing. I like efficiency and organizing, and I've come to find out that God is just not as interested in efficiency and organizing as I would like him to be. Jesus, who on his way to the cross with his disciples, in the midst of transition, is offering peace, joy, and faith in an upside-down and non-intuitive way. And there it was, in the middle of all my striving and organizing ministry to make my life work apart from God. Yes, you heard that right. I was using ministry to make my life work apart from God. But that's for a different message. In the midst of my striving, God got a hold of my life in a way I'd never known. And he brought me face to face with a gospel I knew but had never lived. The gospel had become a system for me of checks and balances and not a life of faith. God invited me into some very tough years of processing my own childhood wounding, my own story of my childhood sexual abuse, which I had buried deep into my heart for no one to touch. And then God invited me to a more challenging task, to process my own waywardness out of my wounding and how I had created a life around me to keep me safe and that my very strategies for survival deeply hurt the people closest to me. I was doing more for Jesus, but I was not becoming more like Jesus. So as you, ECB, began this year going through Treasures of the Journey series, I would like to share three treasures in my journey that I hope will encourage you as a congregation and you, Pastor Pablo, as you step into the role of lead pastor here at ECB. Then I'll close with an invitation for each of you. Treasure number one, learning to live from my identity rather than for my identity. One of the biggest shifts in my own heart as I began to really grow in the gospel was learning to live from God rather than for God. You see, because of my wounding, I believed in a God that was always disappointed in me. And I had learned so much of my church life that I was to live for God and that I must perform for his acceptance. And in all my ministry leadership, I was performing, trying to make God pleased with me so that my life would work. Whew. Do you hear the exhaustion? The issue is that living for God makes me the initiator of life. And God is the only initiator of life. He breathed life into Adam. And I am designed to be a receiver of life, which requires humility and surrender. And those are not words that I'm accustomed to living out of. The invitation from the Father is to live from God. Throughout Scripture, God has already given us many banners of identity, such as loved, delighted in, significant, adopted, chosen, righteous, and many more. These are banners of identity who I already am as a believer. Can I begin to trust God with who he says I am? Most of us spend our lives living for these things, chasing after these things, not from these things. When I live for significance, I will run around and prove my worth, and I will make you prove yours. When I live from significance in Jesus, I can actually meet you where you are and walk with you on this journey of faith. The same holds true for if I live for being delighted in, I'll run around seeking the eyes of people, TikTok, Instagram. Whereas when I live from being delighted in Jesus, I actually have the capacity to delight in others. The incredible shift in my heart changes the way I approach every day, every conversation, every task. It makes me a funnel for the work of God, for the Spirit of God in and through me. It unblocks the channel so He can do His work. Here's the issue. A simple definition of ministry is holding these banners of identity over someone else. The problem is that you cannot hold the banner identity over someone else if you can't hold it over yourself. If your banners over you don't say loved, delighted in, adopted, righteous, then you have no capacity to hold that over someone else. The other problem is that the banners that you do hold over yourself, which are usually banners of contempt, hatred, that might say, I'm a disappointment, I'm too much, I'm not enough, then I will hold those banners over someone else. So now there is a reason that we struggle to believe our identity in Christ. Because our woundedness will always lead to our waywardness. So the invitation for today is, can I begin to trust the Father with whom He already says I am? Loved, delighted in, child of God, justified. Can I begin to trust the Father with who He already says I am as a believer and begin to live from my identity instead of for my identity? Second treasure, learning to trust God to write the impact stories of my life rather than turning good desires into required goals for more impact. Another shift in my heart has been learning to actually desire, learning to go after the dreams and hopes that God has put in me. The issue is that as I begin to engage with desire, I often feel pain, and so subconsciously I turn my desires into goals so I can achieve success and feel better about myself. While it may be a great desire, it may be a terrible goal. For example, my wife loves gifts, and 30 years ago, we had just been married. We were celebrating her birthday for the first time as a married couple. I had a great desire to pick out just the right gift for her. What I thought was a beautiful dress. Don't worry, I didn't get her a blender. I thought a beautiful dress would be the perfect gift, and I bought this dress. It was plaid green and blue with a bow on it, and my desire was for her to really enjoy this dress. But once I purchased it and spent the money on it, my desire quickly turned into a goal. Now she has to enjoy the dress. The issue is that my wife now becomes an obstacle or an asset to my goal, and it places an unfair demand on her to enjoy the dress. Let's just say my goal was not achieved when she returned the dress. When I turn desires into goals, the people in between me and the goal suddenly become assets or obstacles to the goal's success. People are never meant to be assets or obstacles. This happens all the time in ministry. Many years ago, our family arrived in Romania, and I began working with a Romanian ministry. I had a desire that God would raise up Romanian ministry leaders. Then I turned it into a goal, not only a goal, a ministry goal. And I was going to invest in them, and they would help me achieve my ministry goals. Did you know that people are not always interested in being an investment, but prefer being in a relationship? Again, the issue is now these Romanian leaders had to become obstacles or assets to me achieving my ministry goals. The very people I had desired for God to raise up now became obstacles to my goals' success, all because I wanted to write the impact story. Instead of trusting God that He is the only one that really gets to write the impact story. So the invitation, can I trust the Father with my desire without turning it into a goal, demanding that I get to write the impact story, or even discard desire, get rid of desire, because I'm unwilling to sit with Jesus in the pain of unmet desire. Which brings us to treasure number three, learning to go to God and experience His presence rather than going through God to get the outcome I want. Finally, I want to encourage all of you as you dream of what God will do with ECB in the years to come, to see God as the answer and not use God for the answer. We tend to add spiritual language to our request to go through God as if He were a little genie and we had to get the outcome that we want rather than going to God, period. This past October, my wife and I were in Nairobi, Kenya, when we received a call that our 23-year-old daughter, who is at the university, Karina, was in the hospital ICU completely unable to use her legs or move anything from the waist down. You can imagine our distress and our longing for God's work and healing in her body. We flew to the U.S. where she was. It was devastating to walk to that hospital room. She was paralyzed from the waist down. We spent 30 days in the hospital with her. We cried out to God to heal our daughter. Just fix her. We eventually had to come face to face that we were more interested in what God would do with our daughter than His promised presence and comfort in the situation. So often we use God to get the outcomes we hope for. But following Jesus means we get God. We get His comfort and presence in the middle of the worst circumstances or nightmares. But so often we don't value the presence of God. We just need Him to fix our situation. Isaiah 43 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And our response is, "I don't need your presence, God. How about you take some of that water and put out the fire? God, I just need you to get me out of pain, or come through with me when we are asking. Come through what I'm asking you. Please make my daughter walk again." So the invitation, can I trust the Father with His presence, even when the ground is shaking beneath our feet as it did this week in Bangkok? Can I experience His comfort, His presence in the midst of my pain instead of demanding that He fix my situation? So as we return to the upper room in the midst of transition in John 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." In the midst of transition, fear and anxiety, can I trust the Father not to fix or get the outcomes I want, but to experience His peace, presence, and comfort? So as we close, I just want to give a charge to Pastor Pablo and to each of you. It has been a privilege to Pastor Pablo. It has been a privilege to sit under your teaching. Pastor Pablo, one of the things I appreciate the most about you is your compassion. I also appreciate not only your heart, that people know God, but that people know about God, but that your heart, that people actually know God. You create a space for people to share their hearts as you share your heart. And you set the stage for God to do His work. One of the biggest things the enemy could do to derail you is to attack your identity. To attack your identity. To invite you to live for significance rather than from significance. To live for these banners rather than live from these banners. These things that God has already named you. My prayer for you, Pastor Pablo, will be to stand under these banners, trusting the Father with who He says you are as you lead ECB. to Pastor Pablo, the elders and ministry leaders at ECB. In just a few chapters after John 14, we come to John 17, where Jesus is now in the Garden of Gethsemane. In John 17, Jesus gives us his prayer. And it says, this is right before he goes to the cross. It says, to the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as you are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. One of Jesus' greatest prayers for us is our ability to relate to one another as the Trinity relates to one another, to put his love on display. What God wants to transform in us is greater than we've ever imagined. He wants to transform the very way we relate. So for those of you on church leadership working together and hoping for what God will do here at ECB, I would encourage you not to turn your desire for ECB into goals. As soon as you start seeing each other as assets or obstacles to the success of the mission, you won't walk with each other and love each other and relate to each other like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relate. And just to clarify, this is not about avoiding conflict or living without rupture in relationship. There will be rupture. The question is that, can we trust the Father and receive the gifts of repentance and forgiveness to move towards that repair? How things progress here at ECB matter, and how you care for each other and love each other in the process says a lot about what God is doing in your hearts and lives. May you never replace what the Spirit is doing at ECB with strategies and goals. To the congregation, you are in a season of transition. There will be a new season. There will be new systems here at ECB. There will be changes. When you experience pain in those changes, may your heart not move to getting stuck in statements about the way it used to be, but may you surrender that space in your heart to the Father and bow on your knee as the receiver of life, where the source of life comes from, God himself. My prayer for you is that you can trust what God says about you, that you are his, and that you will experience his presence and love in the midst of transition, and that you will actually have the capacity to be present with each other and to love well. And finally, to the children and teens at ECB on this Family Sunday, do you know that you are not created to be perfect? You don't have to perfectly play the violin, piano, and be on the swim team by the second grade. You will face struggle, but in your struggle, you are created worthy of love and belonging. My prayer for you is that while you are here at ECB, you will have curiosity and courage to explore the wonderful uniquenesses of how God made you and be reminded of his great love for you. And to those who don't know this Jesus, the one who can offer such peace, Jesus, the one who says, in the midst of all your mess, in the midst of all your dysfunction, I'm staying. When everybody else leaves the room, I'm not going anywhere. I am staying. I have come that you may have life. My prayer for you is that you will talk to someone today to get to know the one named Jesus who knows how to love perfectly. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your gift on the cross, that you took all of our sin and gave us all of your righteousness. We thank you that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. We thank you for Pastor Renee's leadership over these past years, and we thank you for Pastor Pablo being willing to step into the role as lead pastor at ECB. We pray that you will bless him and his family in this role. We pray most importantly that you will give him faith, and all of us who believe in you, faith to trust you that with who you already say we are, deeply loved, significant, delighted in your hands, and on our worst day, we are wrapped in your robe of righteousness. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the ECB Sermon Podcast. Whether near or far, if you are looking for community or are in need of prayer, we welcome you to engage by sending us an email to office@ecb.asia. If God is calling you to support our ministries, you will find giving options on our website. And remember to join us next week. God bless you.